Welcome to the Reading Room, the Diagnostic Imaging Podcast. I am Jeff Hall, the Senior Editor for Diagnostic Imaging. In our latest podcast episode, the first of a multi-part podcast, we'll be discussing current and emerging concepts with the role of abbreviated breast MRI in breast cancer screening. I am pleased to be joined on this podcast episode by doctors Stamatia Destunis, Emily Conant, and Habib Rabar. Dr. Destunis is the managing partner of Elizabeth Wendt Breast Care in Rochester, New York. Dr. Destunis is the chair of the American College of Radiology's Breast Imaging Commission and a member of the ACR's Board of Chancellors. Dr. Conant is a professor emeritus with the Department of Radiology at the University of Pennsylvania Health System. Dr. Rabar is a professor and executive vice chair of radiology at the University of Washington School of Medicine. Now let's get to the questions for Dr. Destunis, Dr. Conant, and Dr. Rabar. From your perspective, what is the current role of abbreviated breast MRI in breast cancer screening at your facility or practice?
Abbreviated MRI is basically a more focused kind of version of the MRI exam. And it's really tailored to answer a single specific question, which is there any evidence of breast cancer? At least that's how we have thought of it. So by really looking at the full sequences and really selecting appropriate sequences, we try to maximize, the time on the magnet and also the radiologist's time investment. So we're really what we looked at very carefully, my partners and I, is like what could we let go of for our more abbreviated MRI practice. So we wanted to increase the access for patients because we've had patients with a long wait time. And also we wanted more of our patients to tolerate the exam, so shorter time interval. And this is important for breast cancer screening and surveillance. So we have got it down to about 13 minutes. We were at over 27 minutes. And even longer when we were started doing it, like in 1999, 2000. And we've gotten it down to about 12 to 13 minutes, and we're very happy with that. We have obviously, we all are using the pre-T1, pre-contrast T1 weighted sequence, and then post. And then we, some of us are using just one post, some of us are using two or three, and then the T2, which is very important. And for us, that has worked out pretty well as, what is our best abbreviated or as much as we can abbreviate the protocol. I think nobody has the best protocol out there, so we're all kind of working to figure out what works best for us. So we've tried to, continue with the best diagnostic accuracy we can do and get the shorter scan time for our patients. So for us, that seems to be working well.
Yeah, I'll add. I completely agree with Dr. Destunis's perspective on abbreviated MRI. To me, it's not a single concept or single thing or really anything different other than the idea, a general paradigm shift away from getting as many images as possible to just paring down to the most essential things that we really want to evaluate. And what we've learned over time is that the bloat that has occurred with a lot of MRI protocols, let's just throw in this additional series or that additional series because why not? There's no radiation and magnet time is not that important, is really needs to be reassessed because magnet time is increasingly important. MRI demands are extremely important. It's expensive. Time is money. Access to patients is really important. And so what we've learned is all those additional series probably aren't that valuable for the vast majority of patients. And that's really overall the overarching concept around abbreviated MRI to me. And so similarly at the University of Washington, we don't offer a abbreviated MRI protocol per se, separate from the full diagnostic protocol. We've taken the lessons learned from abbreviated MRI studies and pared down our protocol for all patients so that we really are only obtaining the series that we think matter the most and maximizing the value on certain series to improve our specificity. Because we know generally with ABMRI or abbreviated MRI sensitivity, the ability to catch a cancer if it's already, if we know it's there, ability to see it on MRI, is generally not affected too much by all those extra series. It's mostly the specificity, the ability to decrease false positives, that's improved by doing more fancy additional series.
And I
Okay.
want to add to that, if I may, that we are not doing like abbreviated MRI, like out-of-pocket fees. We have, continued to have our patients have their MRI study. Most insurance covers it. Of course, we're an outpatient private practice, so our reimbursement for breast MRI is much less than a hospital or an academic institution, but we continue to submit to insurance. The patients are coming in with, a script, a referral from their physician for the MRI examination, and we don't offer MRI for out of pocket. Given the situation with insurance currently, Jeff, many patients have high deductibles, so they are going to be paying for that until they reach their deductible. But we don't have patients come in and just request it and do it.
So, okay. We have been doing it clinically for almost 10 years. We really started in late 2015, and then began offering it in January 2016 for patients with a small, well, maybe not small for many of our patients, with a $299 cost out of pocket. And so we've been doing it for a while, and we have learned so much through that in terms of patients that are offered abbreviated MR and those which actually take us up on it. That $299 is a lot for many women, and we have a very diverse population at University of Pennsylvania. And I now actually have a grant for abbreviated MR for our African American population, because we found that while our tertiary care site is 55% Black women, they were not partaking based on their, when eligible, based on their density. The other thing that's really changed is the breast density legislation and coverage. But, so we have found remarkable results in our years of doing it. We recently have published a multi-year analysis where still our cancer detection rate was quite high. Our overall cancer detection rate, I think, was around 17 per thousand. And this is after tomo imaging. And then I think it went up to, well, at baseline, it was a little bit higher, almost 17, 18, 17.7. And then on subsequent rounds in this published paper, it was around a 16.8. So still very, very large. Now, how frequently is a big question. Do you need it yearly? I still think we need mammograms. There's a lot of discussion. There's some recent papers out about whether mammography is necessary if you get MRI. I truly believe in mammography yearly, but maybe that's another discussion. So I do think there's the potential to really look at how often one needs the supplemental MR screening, but I'm a big believer in abbreviated. Just to go back over some of the things we've learned over our years of doing this is it took us about a year and a couple months to realize that we weren't seeing a lot of background parenchymal enhancement in some women because we were imaging quickly. And we realized that we were imaging in some of these women too fast, because when you looked at their hearts and their aorta, they weren't actually yet pumping contrast out. So now, as part of our protocol, we have the technologists document with an ROI, showing that there's actually contrast exiting the heart before they do their single post-contrast study. We still do a T2, even though we've analyzed how often a T2 made a difference, and it was really not, even it was less than 5% of our cases did it make a difference. But we do like the T2. We're used to it. So anyway, it's been a very long learning curve for us. And then there was a lot of issues, post-COVID with backlog, and we actually stopped for a little while because we had such a backlog for our newly staged patients who had breast cancer, because so many women didn't get imaged during COVID. we're picking back up now on our abbreviated MR, and I hope we will continue to do it and will be approved to do it. I think that the new breast density legislation is going to allow many women to get full MRs without out-of-pocket payments and decrease the number of women who may just be heterogeneously dense without additional risk who are not qualified for a full MR. But if you look at the multiple publications on abbreviated MR, some of them comparing even to full MR, the sensitivity is really pretty good. So I think there's a lot of room to skinny down our protocols to abbreviated or ultra fast or something and still maintain our very good cancer detection rate. But just personally say, I've had them. I'm a big believer in them, and I think our patient population has really benefited from them.
I think that's great. I was just wondering, I know you don't offer any ultrasound, right? You don't do supplemental ultrasound for dense breasts at all.
So
So,
we do if
okay.
requested, and there are sites within our system that do that, but we haven't done a study comparing the abbreviated MR to whole breast ultrasound or CEM. Long ago we actually did contrast tomo, which is coming under a little bit of new interest. Back when tomo started, we thought that would be a cool thing to do, and it was cool. But we are very fortunate that I have to give credit to my prior chairperson, Dr. Mitchell Stahl, because he really was an MR expert and was very interested. He was the chairman of radiology, but he was really the one who backed this up and implemented this so that we could do it. And at our tertiary care site, our breast imaging area is right down the hall from the MR, so it was very convenient for the patients. Which means a lot. Making it difficult to get any study is so important to so many patients. The other kicker, not only access, one of the things that I think makes MR a little bit more advantageous, yes, maybe more expensive for table time than contrast mammo, is the adverse events. You're probably going to get to that later. So sorry about that. But there's less reactions to gadolinium than there is to iodinated contrast used in contrast mammo. And that's important, I think, to note.
So I wanted to add that because of all the dense breast legislation and the FDA coming out in September saying every state has to have the same lay language for the patients and all the information that's out there, we have a very significant supplemental ultrasound screening ultrasound practice for dense breasts in New York. We've had the mandate since January of 2013. And some of those patients, would qualify for an MRI. And as we've abbreviated our protocol to be more tolerable, I'm finding, more women now that are more interested in having our more abbreviated MRI protocol than the ultrasound that they've historically been getting every year. And once you explain that to them, it is shorter table time. It's still a contrast injection, but you're going to be out faster. It's more tolerable. And then when you explain the cancer detection rate difference between, we do very good supplemental ultrasound, but we're only finding about 3 breast cancers per 1,000. In addition to our very good tomosynthesis practice, where we're finding 5 to 7 cancers per 1,000. You add that abbreviated MRI, that stands on its own. So when you explain that to patients, especially the ones that are very interested about their breast density and risk for breast cancer, you have quite a bit of a buy-in from the patients say, okay, yeah, I'm going to do that. And so I'm having more patients transition to the MRI. So we're running our magnet, day and night, weekends. I mean, it's, because we have so many patients
And can I
waiting for
just
that.
add, right now we're talking about with the legislation, et cetera, just the BI-RADS density assessments, which are really, they were formulated to talk about obscuration and maybe I can't see something and kind of to protect us, I think. I don't really think they were initially started for real risk assessment. And now there are so many interesting applications using radiomics, absolute volume of glandular tissue. We're big on that at Penn because we tend to have larger BMI patients with larger gardens for cancers to grow in that may not be extremely dense. And then the whole the parenchymal complexity. You look at a woman, if you don't look at her age and you look at her mammogram and she's got a very nodular parenchymal and you go, she's 70? Whoa, that's a risky parenchymal. So we're developing, and I think things are really going to change in terms of personalized risk and who should be getting supplemental screening over the years.
I'll
Just
just
had to
add
throw that
also
in.
for what Dr. Dastuna said, as well as relates to tolerance of MRI and going to the abbreviated MRI protocol. It's clear that this is what patients want, is faster MRIs and more comfortable MRIs. And I think it's so important that we continue to do research on improving the way we do MRI. The older studies that we have, like the Akron 6666 trial that had an option for patients to be invited to get additional screening with an MRI, only had about 50, 60% of patients accept that optional free additional MRI. And that's really likely largely related to challenges to claustrophobia and length of the examination, discomfort. And we know that similar rates were up for invitation to be screened were seen with the DENSE trial, which was also another full protocol. But as we move to these more abbreviated protocols, the acceptance and interest goes up. We saw with the 1141 trial that was performed by under Christiana Cole and Chris Comstock that we accrued our goals at record time, faster than expected. So it's clear that having a faster, more comfortable scan is going to be key to access, and the abbreviated MRI is a big part of that.
And just to emphasize, I hope this isn't getting off point, but there are open MRs now that don't make you feel as claustrophobic as the long tubes, and so that's important for people to know about. The other thing I think that's really important is also ability on an MR. We see so much more. We
Right.
see all the way into the chest wall. We see into the chest. We see the internal mammary artery nodes. We see the axilla higher. And so it's not only that, we see the breasts in a different contrast enhanced way, but we see more. We see a little of the liver.
We do. We find a lot of other things. So, and some of them need to be found. I diagnosed lung cancer, so on the breast MR. So yeah, we do find other things. So it is gives us a lot of information. So hands down, if you can do it, that's the best test, whether it's abbreviated or full protocol. But everyone is more interested in the abbreviated protocol for patient comfort, and the ability to for the patient to tolerate it.
I'd like to thank Dr. Dastunas, Dr. Conant, and Dr. Rabar for sharing their insights on this topic. I would also like to thank the listeners for joining us in the Reading Room, the Diagnostic Imaging Podcast. As always, visit diagnosticimaging.com for the latest news and perspectives in radiology.